We'll proceed to case number two, please.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Paul Christensen. I'm from Southern Illinois. I'm here on behalf of appellant Samuel Lewis, who's the young black man sentenced to 20 years in the penitentiary for selling crack cocaine. We raised two basic issues on appeals, Your Honor. One is the ineffective assistance of trial counsel, and the second, we'd like you to consider that there's been a violation of the speedy trial rights of this defendant. As I understand it, a different counsel on appeal allows this court to entertain the possibility of ineffectiveness of the trial counsel. In this particular case for Mr. Lewis, he was appointed counsel.
Christensen, it may allow us to, but the argument is very difficult to sustain on direct appeal because there's been no exploration of either the attorney's reasons or the prejudice growing from any errors. As a result, during the entire history of this court, which is now more than 110 years old, the number of reversals for ineffective assistance claims on direct appeal is zero in 110 years.
Perhaps a good place to start.
Is this an issue that your client has decided he wants to pursue now? Because if you pursue it now, you can't pursue it later on a more complete record. You only get to raise it once.
Yes, he does.
He is... You've advised him that he has no hope of success and he wishes to press forward.
No, Your Honor, I've never advised my client to have no hope of success. I wasn't aware that there were zero reversals for ineffective assistance of counsel. I appreciate that information.
On direct appeal?
Correct.
The only way to make such a claim is to raise it on collateral attack with a supplemental record. So what your client wants to do is raise it now when there's no chance of success, rather than raise it later on a supplemental record when there might be some chance of success. Is that your client's decision?
Well, I don't know if you've had it explained to him quite like that, Your Honor.
That's your job, to explain it to him quite like that.
All right. Well, he's not aware that he is not have any chance whatsoever that this court would consider ineffective assistance.
Oh, no, we'll consider it. We'll just reject it on the merits.
All right. Then I'll ask you to consider it. This trial counsel...
I just want it clear that if we consider it now, it cannot be considered later on collateral attack. That's the point.
I understand your point, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you. And I'd like to proceed, if I may. If you spend 110 years in this court not reversed for ineffective assistance of counsel, when there are clear evidence of ineffectiveness, as there is in this case, then this is a good case to start, Your Honor. And in terms of this case, I'd like to not waste my time on that if it's a dead issue. However, in this case, the trial counsel filed 15 pretrial motions 45 days after the deadline for filing of such motions, and they were all denied as untimely. So we would start with that as a...
The prosecutor says they were also considered and rejected on the merits.
That's what
he says. Therefore, it's impossible to show prejudice.
That's what he says. However, if you will review the order entered by Judge Gilbert, you'll see that they were denied as untimely, and that's what comes first. And having been before Judge Gilbert and understanding him, that's what he meant.
Well, were they also denied on the merits?
Pardon me?
Were they also denied on the merits?
There's some discussion of that. Now, untimely comes first. Your Honor, I'm not here to quibble with you. I'm here to say something about this... client of mine now, who was held in continuous custody for 366 days, although he demanded at every chance he could find a speedy trial right, to enforce his 70-day speedy trial right. And in the federal courts and the district courts, we look to this court to do something about these kinds of abuses. And of course, if you have the same attitude as you've had on the ineffective assistance of counsel, then we will not have any reversal in that either. However, in this particular case, there's something wrong when you can go 63 days of the 70 days for, as they did in this case, and then re-indict the individual for the very same crimes. This is simply form over substance. And his speedy trial rights are a sham if you continue to permit this to occur. They are simply a sham. There is no right to a speedy trial in the federal court, as far as I can determine, because of all of the motion delays and every other thing. However, in this particular case, on the critical element of whether or not there should have been a continuance, my client is said to have agreed and consented to continuance, when that is not in fact true.
He did not examine the court record to establish that.
It simply shows that the ineffective assistance of the trial counsel, in this case, one more time, he had continued the trial on his own ideas one time because his wife was allegedly going to give birth near the time of the trial date.
No, but so, we're talking about the consent matter. Was your client then present in court?
Yes, he was.
And was he asked by the judge, do you consent?
He didn't ask him where he consented. The client demanded that a record be made for his motion to dismiss on a speedy trial basis. So it was at this time he was said to have consented.
Did he ask the judge?
He asked the judge.
Did the judge ask him, do you consent to an adjournment? That's all I'm asking.
Oh, okay. I understand now.
Yeah.
No, he did not ask that particular question. What
did he ask?
He asked his counsel whether the counsel had a good faith basis for making the motion. And if the counsel added up the days, he didn't have a good faith basis. He agreed with the government, even though it's 296 days beyond the speedy trial requirement. He's set in jail for a year trying to have a trial. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I'm assuming that that I can't do anything about it except to raise this issue on appeal, and it's not up to me to do anything about it except to point out that there was no consent and there was no reason why the ends of justice were met by granting this continuance. And there were several continuances which I would ask His Honor to consider as far as ineffective assistance of counsel, moving the trial date based on the wife giving birth is absolutely absurd. And I can't imagine that that should stand muster here. And not only that, but several other continuances made by the trial counsel alone, who was not only ineffective in that way, but he failed to call several witnesses at the sentencing hearing, which is spelled out in the brief. I'm not going to rehash that.
However, in your view, he would not be ineffective if he made continuances and it got by 70 days. And that would be the end of it, in your view, right?
I agree.
Yeah, so maybe that was what he was planning to do.
Well, by his comments on the record, Your Honor, it was clear that he was agreeing with the government that the days that they were excluding for a speedy trial.
Yeah, they went on the rules about what's excluded, and so those days didn't count, and he could not, in good faith, make this motion when the math was maybe one day different between him and the government.
I agree. From a trial counsel standpoint, that's true, but it's on that very day that they're asking them about this, whether the trial counsel agrees, that the defendant is demanding that they make a motion to dismiss on the basis of speedy trial to preserve it for Your Honors to consider whether or not there's an abuse of discretion in this case. I don't know that you will reverse this case, but I can tell the court this, that I have never been involved in a case where there were 366 days when a person was demanding a speedy trial. What kinds of speedy trial rights remain then in the federal court if this is the kind of practice that obtains? I simply think that it's a wrong notion to allow the government at its own discretion to supersede the indictment of the person and start the clock running again just because they'd like to. That makes this mockery and a sham of any kind of speedy trial rights. Thank you for listening, and I'd appreciate it if you would reverse this case and stop this practice of the superseding indictment being used as an excuse and a vehicle for the government to keep the people in incarcerated circumstances before they are tried for, in this case, 366 days. Thank you, Your Honor. I have no rebuttal.
May it please the court. My name is George Norwood. I'm an assistant United States attorney in Southern Illinois. First, with respect to the ineffective assistance of counsel with respect to pretrial motions, The district court did consider the motions on the merit. I would refer the court to the record document 72 on pages 2, 4, 5, and 7, where the court repeats several times, these motions are denied as untimely, but even if the court looked at the merits of these motions, the result would be the same, and then the court addresses the issues on the merits. Second, with respect to ineffective assistance of counsel with respect to asking for continuances, this is the first time I've heard of that particular argument. It was not raised in any of the briefs submitted to the court. The ineffective assistance of counsel had to do with two other matters, not with raising continuances. Therefore, the government believes that argument has been waived. Third, with respect to the Speedy Trial Act, the government has laid out what the government believes are the times that are includable as well as excludable. The delay in this case was not due to a superseding indictment filed by the government. The delay was conditioned upon the pretrial motions of the defendant, the continuances by the defendant, the motion to suppress by the defendant, and that's what counts for the excludable time. And finally, the government agrees with the court that in the interest of justice, appellant counsel might have considered waiving the ineffective assistance of counsel on direct appeal. I have nothing further. The court has no further any questions.
Thank you, counsel. Do you have anything you wish to add? All right. We will take the case under advisement. Thank you both for your help and proceed to case number 3, please.